Okay, now, I wish we could just talk about Jim's lovely speech, because it was rich in thinking, and particularly for us in Europe. But I've been asked to stand back, actually, and really try and raise the issue of health. I work in a public health department, although in fact my own thinking, I was an organic farmer, I would share a lot of ARC's thinking. Okay? But I'm here speaking as a professor in food policy, in public health. Okay? And there is a major problem, which is the world of ARC, you, has not taken public health seriously. And yet the potential for public health to be an issue to change the paradigm, let's use that language, is immense. The potential for building stronger alliance between rural and urban constituencies of interest is immense, but only if key issues like public health are taken seriously. So I'm going to give you a very short talk, and you have the slides, to try and remind you, us, me, that in debates like this, if we do not think about the purpose of agriculture as producing food, which then leads to cardiovascular disease, which then costs you and the state and insurance companies and your families costs for treatment, for death, even worse than death. It's good if you die from a heart attack. The problem is you die slowly from heart attacks. The medical treatment is expensive. If you die like my father, bang, dead, perfect. Okay? The problem was, for 6 months before he went bang, dead, he was expensive. Okay, I've got your attention. Now, I will miss that. I've given a better summary than that. Okay, now what is the context? To some extent, I agree with what Jim was painting and Ari and Michael in his lovely, elegant challenges. We live in very difficult times. Here we are. Commissioner Tsiolos is coming to speak to us in an hour and a half. He is thinking very interesting thoughts. I met with him a month ago talking about what I'm talking about. And he is saying, look, we have a choice. Do we take the nutrition-oriented programs, the fruit, the vegetable, the school milk, and do we turn them into a new platform, a new program over the next 20 years which builds a public health objective into CAP? And my answer to that is, CAP was founded for public health, actually. And it's just, it's forgotten it. We have, nonetheless, a very difficult time where in Europe, even though we are incredibly rich compared to Africa, we are under immense pressure to restrain the financial burden of agriculture. How can people on low incomes in Europe continue to have justified to them that farmers are paid for looking after trees, is how is it presented, or for the environment? Okay, I spent a long time trying to push for that. But the issue now is very stark. This slide is important. This is where we come from. Essentially, the thinking of CAP was based on 1930s thinking. Great people. Our predecessors were giants. We are pygmies in our thinking at the moment. And they essentially said we could produce hugely more food if only we invested capital and intensified. It would increase output, which then would lower prices, would then mean working people could afford food instead of suffering starvation and the health problems that came from it. That's why in the Second World War, but after the Second World War, this paradigm, which was considered the lunatic fringe in the 1930s, became the dominant paradigm. And the problem is, that is the paradigm which is now in trouble. Because it went for increasing outputs, squeezing the earth, using natural resources, using fossil fuels, using water, changing everything to produce more output. And now, even on its own terms, looking 10, 20 years ahead, there is a big problem. And that is because it is still based upon thinking about production, not about total supply chains. I agreed with Michael's realistic summary of where CAP is and is likely to be. But where CAP should be is not a CAP, but a sustainable food policy. Unless we reconnect agriculture to the urban majority of consumption and existence, farming is lost. In other words, it has severed agri from culture. Agriculture is about how we live our lives. It's not happy. I'm shouting too much. We start again. Can you read it like that? Yeah. Here they are. Anyone know who the man on the right is? Yeah. Anyone know the man on the left? Yeah, you never know who the man on the left was. He was more important. He was a public health doctor, a Scottish man, who was the architect of the whole paradigm. He was the founding director general of the FAO, Sir John Boydell, a Scottish, very conservative Scottish doctor, who became more and more radical the older he got. Read his biography, his autobiography of seeing his love affair with productionism die by the 1950s. He said it's not dealing with the issues. These people could see it. Mansholt, at the end of his life, knew the CAP that he had helped create was a problem. Arié and I, 20 years ago, were at meetings with him. Do you remember?
I remember very well.
Very well. I have a picture of him on my desk to remind me. At work. A good man, a very good man. Okay, now where is the problem ahead? I will be very stark. This, if we were taking a blank sheet of paper and starting agriculture or food policy from the beginning, this would be it. These are the evidence challenges on which food has to be addressed. These are mostly not about agriculture. They are increasingly on the right-hand side. They are off the land, not on the land. Things on the left are being driven by on the right. And that's the difficulty. We have the drivers shaping agriculture, now no longer inside agriculture, at a time when agriculture is locked in to a system. So while I accept the realpolitik of what Michael said, I think unless we put work into a radical paradigm shift, which could happen if there's an oil crisis, which could happen if there is a water crisis, I think we need to actually be more sophisticated. In other words, ride, as we say in English, many horses in the midstream. Not just two horses, but many horses. And we need to do that cleverly and systematically. Which we're not doing. We're not doing it. It's messy. You can read this. Essentially, from the public health point of view, we have a catastrophic diet-related crisis, where there are more people obese and overweight on the planet than there are suffering hunger. Where the rise of non-communicable diseases, diet-related, 9 out of 20 of the major causes of death on the planet, premature death before the age of 65, of men and women, are diet-related. And they are unsupportable. And that's partly why the Chinese government, to go back to Jim, seeing ahead and looking at it, it is riding two horses in midstream. It is intensifying in some farming, but de-intensifying rapidly in other areas, and not knowing how to do it, investing hugely in non-fossil fuels in order to prepare for a non-fossil fuel based, exactly as Jim said. That paradigm has to be what we call ecological public health. Thinking about food as the connection point between primary production to end consumption, but also the relationship between primary production and public health. It's ecological thinking in its mental framework, but also ecological in terms of thinking about biodiversity. All of this, you know. The agendas, the food, the CAP 2013, the CAP towards 2020, these are hooks on which we can hang our debate. The existence of ARC is fantastic. Compared to 25 years ago, this is a huge development of civil society and academics, neutral academics like me and Robert, who merely look at the evidence and think, how can we speak for the public interest? Okay. Well, that is rare in academia, unfortunately. This agenda is very dynamic. Now, let's get practical. From a public health point of view, I speak to you as a British government commissioner until 2 months ago, okay, where the government abolished the organization I was on. So now I can speak. Okay, it's very nice. But inside government for 6 years, I was arguing this. That essentially we have to aim for a dramatic reduction of meat and dairy because it ends up as heart disease. We have to go towards more grass-fed, not grain-fed production. This is radical thinking. We have to go for quadrupling, tenfold increase of fruit and vegetable consumption, in which case we have to increase it. Not in the way that happens in Murcia, in Almeria, in Spain, which is highly polluting, based on migrant labor, in dangerous conditions, pesticide poisoning, terrible wage conditions. It's like awful. We have to be thinking about how can we rebuild fruit growing into everyday life to put the culture of horticulture and agriculture into food culture. That is what we have to do for public health. And at the moment, the price signals aren't there. CAP doesn't have a regime supporting fruit and vegetables, a little bit coming. But how can we do it? Commissioner Chiolos is saying we can do it more around the school food schemes. We have to treat these very seriously, but we have to be thinking of much bigger. Where do we want this to go? Which agricultural economists can we encourage to begin to really think this through? How could we develop a skills base where you can get grafters, planters, pickers on casual basis for seasonal fruit picking, which is not exploited labor from Eastern Europe? That is a very big social challenge. The good news is this ecological public health perspective has lots good, okay? But it also has big problems that we have to think through and analyze on the right. I take this third from the bottom on the right-hand column. Almost all analyses point to the fact that food prices not only are going up, but have to go up to internalize the costs of the environment. If we were to internalize the costs of public health, they would go up dramatically, much more. In terms of branding and thinking about how can we win public appeal, wow, have we got a difficult story to tell. You mean you're going to pay more food like your grandmother did? Well, how am I going to have my holidays? How can I buy 14 suits? How can I have my BMW to keep Germany and the motor industry keeping to perfection? Hannes. 5 minutes, they say. This is getting delicate. Okay, so we have difficulties here. But there are very interesting things emerging inside the Commission. The integration of production and consumption must be accelerated. I skip this. For me, one of the big issues from public health, the challenge inside public health, is we don't know what to tell consumers to do. Do we tell them to eat fish? Yes. It's fantastically strong, the evidence for eating fish. It's incredibly good for conception, for brain function, for cardiovascular health. The evidence is solid. All the omega-3s, omega-6s. Okay? But the evidence for not eating fish because stocks are running out is equally good. So what do you do? At the moment, public health and environmental advice and consumer advice and indeed policy advice inside the Commission are completely schizophrenic. This is actually something we have to address. Now, from the public health analysis, we see here, this is just one version of how the cap has evolved. I heard from Michael, rightly, realistically, phase four here, we're still in the two pillars, living, etc. And yet the evidence from public health, let alone the coupling of public health evidence with environmental, with consumer, with labour, with social justice, with development evidence, points towards ecological public health. What are the messages that we can work towards for CAP? Whatever the official banner, we have to do it around sustainable production to consumption. Not just agriculture, but all down the food supply chain. And that's the tricky bit. We have lengthened food supply chains, not just internationally, but around Europe. The concentration of companies that has been allowed by the motorway industry to literally truck food up and down and across Europe from different factory to different factory is astonishing and astonishingly wasteful. But new metrics are emerging from inside the food industry who now see this as cost. They know oil prices are going up. They now have an incentive to reduce that. So there is a very interesting situation where some big companies are beginning to be aware they don't like the sort of things you say or what I'm saying, but they know that this world is coming in some respects. So in political terms, you probably can't see the... Oh, you can't because you've got little screens. This is a world that I summarize as a world of poly-values, multiple values. The agenda has to be on these big six agendas, these big six headings. This is the most important slide I give you. Come back to this in your own time. The evidence on each of these is very good. The problem about getting them to fix together is not there. And that is actually the agenda. That is the agenda for the next 20 years. Now, companies are beginning to move, but they're doing it around brand-specific product reputational protection. That's why Nestle, Monsanto, Kellogg's, Unilever are doing the sometimes very interesting things they're doing. Okay? But they're interested in their own agenda, and they're locked at the moment, ironically, into competition which stops them going further than they could go. If you go and talk to them, they would like to go further, but they can't because it breaks competition laws. So actually, we have an issue in Europe of agriculture and competition laws. And there are other issues you know about, we know about labelling and so on. The model, the European model of giving consumers information to help them make healthy choices is, I've spent 25 years on it. It's nonsense. Okay, we argue for it, it happens. But if you really want the information to enable me to discriminate between whether I eat fish or not fish, is it on a label? No, it has to be in my head. It has to be in the price system, not on a label. If everyone ate sustainable fish, there'd still be no fish. Most interestingly, I get to the end. Across Europe, a debate around the notion of a sustainable diet is emerging. My own job in the government commission, as a government commissioner, ended with this. The sustainable diet reports coming from Sweden, Netherlands, France, UK, Finland are very interesting, but they've been seen as very threatening by very powerful interests. But I would say, the reason I accepted the invitation to come to you is to say, ARC and your members, please engage with this agenda of sustainable diets. It is partly your agenda, but partly not. And that is exactly the issue we have to address. I think it's telling me stop. Okay. I suppose what I'm arguing is this, in one slide. The public health evidence is solid. The public health healthcare costs are mounting everywhere in the world. China, India. I always say it. I was brought up, I'm white English, actually half Welsh, but I'm white British. I was brought up in India. My home city, Bombay, now Mumbai, has the highest and second highest, different years, rate of diabetes type 2 on the planet. Okay, do you want me to repeat that? It is out of control. And it has no health insurance. It's a middle class and affluent disease, whereas with us, it's the poorer you are. But in both rich world and poor world, with rich populations and poor populations, inexorably, the nutrition transition, as we call it, has occurred. People switching from drinking tap water to drinking bottled water, plastic, oil. Drinking soft drinks, one Coca-Cola, one Pepsi-Cola, 8 lumps of sugar. You get fat. Soft drinks are safe, but fat. Now, that is a very, very, very difficult agenda when you've already got enough on your agenda. But you have to start thinking about those public health issues. And the implication is how we eat, not just how food is grown, has to be part of the next 20 years of thinking. So even if you don't like what I've said now, please get it into 1% of the thinking, not least because rural populations are the fattest. They eat the worst diet.